BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
It's Wednesday, November 22nd, 2017. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
We had some issues in the studio today, so if you hear like a faint kind of alarm sound in the background of any of these segments coming up here, don't be alarmed.
It's... Oh my God. It's... Okay. How many kids do you have now?
Dad joke extravaganza.
You have 17. 17 children dad joke right there. Pope Francis blessed a Lamborghini the other day. Did you hear about this?
No, but that seems very odd to me because he's very anti-material, right? He's very much about like humbling yourself and getting rid of your... He's the one who wouldn't wear the fancy ceremonial robes or live right in the Pope's quarters at the Vatican. He preferred to live in like a little cottage instead.
Right. So what happened was someone who's very rich, obviously, decided to drop off this Lamborghini for the Pope anonymously. So this thing just showed up. Yeah. I don't know how you even do that. Like, who's just sitting there on their couch, like watching TV and having some Cheetos? It's like, I'm going to send a Lambo to the Pope. That's what I'm going to do today.
A Holy Father.
Yeah.
There is a Lamborghini outside.
Well, that's what happened.
Come, my son. We must rip shit in it.
Yes, exactly. So it showed up. The Pope then blessed it because he realized that he could then donate it to charities. So that's where his selfless self comes into play, right?
That makes perfect sense. Yeah, yes.
So he's like, all right, let's bless this thing. I guess he signed it. I don't know, to make it worth more money. I don't know. Like Pope Francis, yeah.
And now they're going to auction it off?
They are.
The Pope Guinea?
Yeah, yeah. How do you bless a Lamborghini, though? Like, how does this even go down?
I guess the same as you bless anything. Like, you would stand over it and make the sign of the cross and say right something like,
may this vehicle get you many bitches.
Yes, that's exactly what the Pope would say right there. May you rip in this Lambo.
May you get VIP to every club you pull up in front of.
If there was ever any doubt that the Oilers are maybe the biggest dynasty of suck in NHL history, they're putting those doubts to bed right now.
Oh my God. They lost 8-3 last night. 8-3.
Mm-hmm.
Oilers yeah, fans were absolutely losing it.
Second worst team in the league, next only to Arizona, who they're gaining on very quickly.
If you have an Oilers fan that you know or is in your family, it's probably time to phone them, check yeah, up on them.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Really, though, has there ever been an NHL team suck so bad for so long?
No.
Especially, like, given every opportunity to get better?
No.
And then just ruin it?
No. Every year.
Every year. So here's the best young player that we have in the world right now.
Like,
okay, we're still going to suck.
I love making fun of them, but it's actually almost getting sad.
Our friends Ryder and Lisa host the morning show at Hot 107 at our sister station up in Edmonton. And yeah, they're huge Oilers fans.
Huge.
We just want to make sure they're okay.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Hot 107.
Good morning, Ryder. It's Beckler and Shauna from X92.9.
Hi, Ryder.
Oh, hey, guys.
We're just, we know you guys are big Oilers fans, and we're just calling to make sure everything is okay.
No, like, it was about game four when I gave up the first time this season, and then last night was the second time.
I just want you to know that McDavid has the flu, so...
We see your team lost 8-3 yesterday, and we wanted you to know that we're here for you.
Second worst team in the league.
They're just terrible.
You know what? I know this will probably piss a lot of Calgarians off, but look at how little Goudreau is. It's only a matter of time before he has a serious injury. I shouldn't have said that.
Is that supposed to make you feel better?
We just wanted you guys to know that it's okay. Yeah. It's okay.
Things will get better.
Everything will be okay when McDavid gets back to me. I slid into his DMs to ask him if he's feeling all right.
I wasn't meaning the team. The team will not be better, but everything else can, you know.
It'll be okay.
Yeah. You have a new arena to look forward to.
Yeah.
So that's the thing.
It's true, actually. Like, we can be sad and wipe our tears with all the concert tickets that we're going to that you guys don't get anymore.
Yeah, at least we're not as low as that ceiling you guys had in your stadium.
Who's the... who's the number one prospect in the draft this year?
Some Swedish defenseman who's going to be great. Get right in with the rest of the crew.
You think he'll want to come to Edmonton?
No.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I just got a kick out of that Edmonton thing. You called him up. You ever notice there's specific teams, Edmonton, Vancouver, and Toronto, and sometimes the Canadians. You look at their fans anytime that you kind of heckle them a little bit. The first thing they go to is they'll say something like, you'd be like, oh, that was a nice 8-3 loss you had. And they always say the same thing. Oh, yeah, well, didn't you lose 4 games ago?
Yes, like, we lost once. We did.
Or like, oh, that was a nice penalty that one guy took yesterday, eh?
I always find that Oilers fans go to the 5 cups they won in the 80s. And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, well, I wasn't alive for any of those, so they don't mean anything to me.
Yeah, exactly. And even if you were, they wouldn't fucking mean anything anyways.
My favorite is the new arena chirps because it's like, that's great. You have a new arena. Your team is shit, though.
And you're paying for it.
What
you're
good
for
is
this
that?
Barn of failure.
You're paying out of your tax dollars for a team that sucks ass so you can have a pretty building. Like
it's like owning a Ferrari but not having enough money to fucking actually own it.
No, it's owning a Ferrari and not being able to drive it.
And living in your Ferrari. Yeah.
And living in your Ferrari.
Be for
like,
sure.
Be like, yeah, that's a nice Toyota you got there. It's not a Ferrari. Be like, Tom, calm the fuck down. You've been living in that car for 6 years.
You can't even afford the gas to move it, Tom.
You can talk shit all you want, but until you can actually drive the thing, it's not going to do jack shit.
McDavid has the flu. I guess only in Edmonton the flu lasts 4 months.
I love Oilers hate Shauna. I just love it.
Oh, I know.
I love it so much. I love them more than I love hating the Oilers more than I love the Bruins these days.
Yeah. Well, I think, and I was going to say, not everybody does. I love them. On the other hand, it's getting to be so bad that I'm starting to almost feel bad for them. You know, like almost.
Okay. Like where you burn someone too bad and you feel bad about it.
Like, I legitimately was thinking of starting like a support line on my phone, like changing my, you know, my
your voicemail.
My voicemail and just being there for people.
You need
because,
someone to talk to.
Yeah, right?
To change gears, yesterday we were talking about this apology that Justin Trudeau is going to be making to the LGBTQ community on behalf of the Canadian government. Yep. And we made a post about it on Facebook, which I guess some people interpreted as us mocking the apology.
Yes.
Which we weren't. We were mocking the way that the apology is being built. It's kind of like they're almost treating it like this is a big event, like a sporting event or like a title of fight. The apology, you know?
Yeah. Like they were saying, you know, you can apply for travel subsidies. You can get tickets. When you say it like that, when you put it in a big poster and say that type of thing, yeah, it looks like a bigger event of sorts. That's what we were making fun of.
So people were freaking out on our Facebook about this, thinking that we were like, we're mocking the gay community. We're homophobic. We're hateful. So we went in and explained, like, no, that's not what we meant. This is what we meant by it. And even after we clarified, people were still calling for blood.
Yes. Yeah. Then they were upset about everything else. Like, then they were going on about everything. They were saying that the comments that were on there were hateful and that we should remove the post because of that. And
yeah. And I mean, there were some nasty comments on there, as controversial topics tend to bring out. But, we don't want to censor our page. We don't want to try to like hide the fact that some people have those opinions, because then you don't know about them. You need to know what people are thinking.
I feel like you need to know what people are thinking to be able to then tackle that and go, okay, so this is what people are thinking. Where do we go from here? How do we fix that?
Yeah, you got to meet bad ideas head on.
Yes.
With better ideas. That's the entire concept of free speech.
Yeah.
And these people were calling for us to take down the post, to remove these comments, which kind of goes against, I think, what you and I both believe in, which is countering these hateful ideas with better ideas.
Yeah.
The post is still up. You can go read it. And I mean, some of the conversations, what frustrated me so much is that even once we'd explained our intentions, and like, if you know us, you know that we're not hateful people. We're allies of the gay community. Even personally, I think we both support the apology that the Prime Minister is going to make.
Of course, I totally do.
But even after you explain all that to somebody, they're still angry, and like, they're not willing to give anybody the benefit of the doubt.
No, this is what people do now. They rip apart and dissect things, and they try and read into the way you've worded things and say that that's wrong. Even if they know that the greater idea, like they know that we, for example, aren't bigots and that we support the apology, they will look at our responses to things and say, yeah, but you said this like this.
Like one word, word.
Yeah, this word is wrong. Oh, well, why did you say it like this then? And it's like, you know our greater meaning. You know what we're getting at here. So why do you have to dissect? dissected like
that. Yeah, you are deliberately misinterpreting our purpose,
and
our
calling
intent
for blood because of the misinterpretation.
And that just, I think that's, like, this post is a great example. It's got, like, a dozen examples of what is wrong with conversation and discourse today.
Yeah.
So I maybe go pick through that if you think you have the stomach for it. I had to stop looking at it because I was going into the black hole.
Yeah.
Shauna pulled me out of it. She's like, you're not allowed to look at that anymore.
Yeah. This is, I'll confiscate your laptop, okay?
BMS in 20 minutes or less.
I was listening to Joe Rogan's podcast recently, and he had one of my favorite other podcast hosts, Dan Carlin, on, and they were talking about successful people and kind of the qualities that they share, that successful people share.
Interesting.
And what I found so interesting is that both of them said that they think ambition is genetic. So if you're a real go-getter, you have that drive that some successful people seem to have, they think that's something that can't be learned. That's something that's kind of hardwired into your genes.
I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know enough, obviously, about it to be able to speak intelligently, perhaps, about it. But would it not just be, let's say, they're saying genetic, so it's passed down. Mm-hmm. Would it not be that maybe your parents just have a mentality that they've passed on to you? You know, like, if your parents are very ambitious, then obviously you would be taught to also be ambitious.
Right, or there's an expectation in your family that, you know, we are high achievers in this family, and that's expected of you as well, right?
Yeah, like, my parents both went to university. My sister went to university. I then felt pressure to go to university because that just was what everybody in the family did.
Right. I know, but you probably know some families, too, though, where they seem unnaturally good at things, right? Where every member of the family is good at whatever they do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, but is that because ambition?
Yeah, or is that the old nature versus nurture thing, right? Yeah,
or is that just they're just very intelligent? Like, I knew a family who every single one of them had like 99% in school and then went into university or college and had those same insane grades. And I was like, that's unheard of. Like, how?
I knew a family like that too, and I think they were intelligent people to begin with, but they also really valued education and they took it very seriously. Mm-hmm.
Like, if my parents didn't value education, I don't think I wouldn't have ever cared. Like, I wouldn't have ever cared in school, wouldn't have tried, wouldn't have probably gone on to post-secondary education, because they were the ones who were kind of pressuring it. That's why I did it. Again, it seemed like this expectation. So I was like, oh no, right, I have to do well in school.
But then there are these stories of people who come from, you know, homes where the parents aren't really pushing them and they don't have a whole lot of opportunities and they become hugely successful, right? They seem to have some drive inside them that pushes them further than everybody else.
Yeah.
And I didn't have that when I played sports. I didn't have that when I played music, but I feel like I have that in radio.
And that's part of it. I think you have to find something that you're passionate about. If you're not passionate about something, you're not going to put ambition or drive into it because you don't care enough to do that.
Right. And if your parents are like, we value sports, we want you to be an athlete, but you don't care, you want to play music.
Yeah.
Then you're not going to have that drive for what they... Yeah, I see what you're saying.
See?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense there, Shauna. Yeah,
sorry, Joe Rogan.
It's that education of yours coming through.
Uber confirmed yesterday that it paid hackers $100,000 to keep quiet after an attack that led to the disclosure of, I guess it was 57 million of their customers.
So the hackers got their hands on this data and then demanded a ransom?
It was a ransom. Yeah. They were like, give us $100,000 and we'll destroy this evidence. We'll destroy all the records we have of these people. Otherwise...
Well, you hope they do it and they don't just say they're going to do it and then come back months down the road and be like, we need more money.
Yeah. Well, it's all come out in the wash anyway. Of course, now we know about this. And the man in charge of that transaction has lost his job. So basically, he cost Uber $100,000 and they made him look pretty bad.
Yeah, I would say so. That's a big mistake. You can't normally cost your company $100,000 and still have a job.
No. Have you ever cost a company ever money like that you worked for?
Not majorly, no. I used to work at a certain home improvement warehouse, and I was operating the forklift, and I dropped a lift of lumber from the roof onto the ground. And it was so loud, and everyone in the store came to see, and I was just sitting in the forklift like an idiot. And I got my forklift license taken away, and the worst part was that I had to load all the lumber into the shelves by hand.
Oh,
and that was a big
God.
Job. So, yeah, so that didn't cost a lot, but it sucked.
Yeah.
For sure.
The only, like, we have one piece of equipment in radio that costs quite a bit of money, and there's one thing that if we were to destroy would be tens of thousands of dollars.
The board?
The board.
The board, yeah. And you hear about, like, DJs who spill coffee on the board and short it out, and it's like...
I almost did. I was very close. I cost the company about $700. It was like a piece of equipment across from the board that I spilt my tea all over. But that was the most I've done. But there are tons of jobs where one little mistake can cost thousands, if not millions of dollars.
Yeah, and we want to hear about that. What is the biggest mistake you've made at work that cost your company money, and what is the dollar value of that mistake?
One of the worst instances I can think about is that waitress who, she was serving a bottle of wine that originally belonged, I think, to Thomas Jefferson. And so she was walking across the restaurant with this, and she tripped and she smashed it. It was a $27,000 bottle of wine. And it was just...
Oh, that poor woman. She was probably thinking, don't fall, don't fall, don't fall. And then she fell.
Oh, it was like, I once touched a violin that was worth $1 million. And I was like, my palms are sweaty. I was just like, I can't.
Were your knees weak?
Yes.
Like, it was, mom's spaghetti?
Yes, Eminem. Yes, they were.
It was not me. I was working for a company in Vancouver at the airport. LSG SkyChef, so commissary. We load the planes with the food and stuff. And one of the guys, when he was lifting up the back of the truck to load the plane, did not pay attention to where he parked, and he tore the fuselage.
Oh, what does a fuselage cost?
I think the company got billed, I know it was over $100,000.
Wow, that's a big one.
Whoops.
So, yeah, you don't want to wreck a plane.
He was not allowed to drive again.
Some things, though, are priceless. And if you wreck that, you're in big trouble.
It wasn't me, but I got one that's an interesting one for you. Randy Bachman's guitar that was used to record American Woman is actually at the National Music Center in Calgary right now. It was on loan from the Music Center in Cincinnati.
That's really awesome. Cool.
And on the back of it, you'll find it's all ratched up. What happened was one of the roadies was tuning it one day, had a very large cowboy style buckle, and as he's tooling around and tuning it, the buckle was scratching the back of the guitar.
Oh, God.
Consequently, the back of the guitar is totally ratched up from him doing this.
Oh, man.
Needless to say, he's no longer working, but ratching $500,000 guitar is got to be up there.
So was this recently that it got scratched?
No, it was a while ago. It was while it was actually an actively being used guitar. It just happens to be at the National Music Center now.
Well, in that case, I almost consider that to be part of the story of that guitar.
Yeah, it is. It is. One of the curators showed me it. I helped him import it from down in the States when it came in and got a little bit of a sneak peek behind the scenes before it opened, and he was telling me the story about it.
Oh, that's super cool.
That's a pretty cool... I mean, it sucks that roadie got probably fired and no longer is a roadie because of that. Because he has a legacy now. His legacy is the scratches on that guitar.
Yeah.
A few years ago, I was working for the Weed Man. They do, like, lawn fertilization and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Anyways, I was working in one backyard. And, the thing about that job is you get paid per house you do, right? So you want to get them done as quickly as possible. So you can finish your day as quickly as possible.
Of course.
So anyways, I was in a bit of a hurry, and I forgot to close the gate of one of the backyards that I was in, and their dog got out.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. I'm not sure if they ever got the dog back, but I know for a fact that I lost my job when I got back to the shop that day.
And you can't even put a dollar value on someone's dog, right?
No, absolutely. That's priceless, you know?
Well, at least it wasn't their child.
No kidding.
You've been listening to the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have BNS in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.